I've enjoyed the program and enjoyed our students as they've sang and quoted scripture. And what a blessing to be able to have a school where that can happen and where God and the Lord can be lifted up. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm, the book of Psalm, being Psalm 11. Psalm 11, simple scripture we'll use as a springboard. A lot of times we like to preach expository messages and messages that deal with verse-by-verse preaching. Today will be a topical message on foundations. On foundations. By the way, foundations are important. I'll never forget when we laid the foundation for the building behind us in 2005, and the engineer had engineered the foundation, and the contractor was supposed to fulfill that and to build it as the civil engineer, or as the engineer had planned it. And when the contractor started on it, we could tell that maybe he wasn't following the rules too well. And so we called the engineering company that designed the cement foundation and said, hey, I don't know that our contractor's doing this exactly right. And boy, I'm telling you, within an hour, they had a guy out here with a white hard helmet on. And that man from the engineering company stayed here for two solid days and night and day and watched them pour the foundation of the first building here to make sure it was done right, and it was done according to how it was designed. Then the building behind us, which I know it looks like this is one building, but the building, really it's half and half. This side was built in 2012, that side built in 2006. And when they came and poured that foundation, I'll never forget the size of the piers they drilled into the ground. You know, some of them were 18 inches around, some of them 24 inches around. Most of them belled at the bottom. Some of you may know what that means. And when they got to the bottom, they belled out like a bell, so that the bottom is wider and bigger, and so that pier, when it's setting on that shell, is a bigger footprint to hold more weight. And them having to drill down into this old black gumbo yucky soil all the way down to the gray shell. And when they got to the gray shell, they were supposed to penetrate that at least a foot or 2 feet. And I love it. They broke like three of their bits trying to get down a little further. Finally, they called the engineering company and said, hey, can we get by with 6 inches or 8 inches? We've already broke three of these bits. But the important thing was that the foundation be done right, and that it be done right, and then just everything done right. Why? Because the structure is going to set on it. And the structure is going to be determined whether or not the structure is level or the structure stays level, whether the doors in this building can close or not close, be determined by the foundation. The foundation is primary. It's first. It's the most important thing. And so the foundations are so very, very important. Look at Psalm 11 and verse 3. Simple scripture, but profound. The Bible says here, the psalmist says, King David says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity this morning to come together in your house. And Lord, may you and be evident today. Lord, may your spirit be evident. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, and that we as Christians would stand, and that we as Christians would fight for the proper foundations. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, foundations are important. The foundation to the Bible is important. The Old Testament is the foundation of the New Testament. And I would submit to you this morning that Genesis is the foundation of the entire Bible. In the entire Bible. It's important that we understand that in order for you to understand your New Testament, you need to understand your Old Testament. I've heard it many times. Somebody will say, well, we're New Testament Christians. Doesn't matter about that Old Testament. Well, then the New Testament writers wrote in light of that you already know your Old Testament, right? There are thousands and thousands of references in the New Testament to the Old Testament. In order for you to understand, in order for you to get a grasp of a clear grasp of the New Testament, you must have a clear grasp of the Old Testament. In fact, Paul tells us in Romans 15, he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our example. In other words, he's saying those Old Testament scriptures, that Old Testament scripture was primarily written for New Testament saints. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, Paul says, now all these things happened, talking about to Israel, the Old Testament, for our examples. and was written for our admonition. Again, the Old Testament was written primarily for New Testament saints. You say, how do you know this? Well, King David only had 15 books of the Bible. Think about that for a second. King David only had 15 books of the Old Testament, right? The rest of the Old Testament was written after him. Those who went into captivity in 722 BC only had 25 books of the 39 books of the Old Testament. So if most of the Old Testament saints, the patriarchs, and many of these did not have a complete Old Testament, then who was the Old Testament primarily written to? Well, Paul tells us it was primarily written to us, New Testament saints. It is the foundation upon which the New Testament sets. If you don't have a proper understanding of the Old Testament, then your New Testament understanding will be out of whack. Your New Testament concept of doctrine and all these things will not be level. Something will be askew. Something will be off. Many of the New Testament doctrines tie into the Old Testament. In fact, I would say all of them do. It's important that your foundation be right when it comes to... That's why we teach at Heritage Baptist Church that it's important. Maybe as a new Christian, yes, I encourage new Christians, go read the Gospel of John. I think it's important that you read the Gospel of John and see the life of Jesus. But after you get done reading the Gospel of John, go to Genesis and start reading through the Bible. That's the way God intended for you to read it. He didn't intend for it to be pogo sticking around in the Bible. You know, he didn't intend for us to do what we used to do at youth camp. You know, no. The Bible was meant to be read from Genesis to Revelation. That's how it was put together. And we read it through, and that gives us greater understanding. As God unfolds, as God reveals himself from Old to New Testament, the unfolding drama of redemption made known. It's God revealing himself through the Scripture, and he does so primarily at Old into the New Testament. Foundation, so important. This morning, as it pertains to our HCA day, I want to say the foundations of society are important. And that God laid down some foundations for society. And the first foundation was the family. The family, God's first institution. It was to be for the good of all mankind. It was to put together a social order. A social order. God instituted marriage, God instituted the family to bring about a foundation for society. The first foundation in society is the law of God stamped on the heart of all mankind. God, when you are born in this world, you're born with a conscience. You're born with moral awareness. That was put there by God. Romans chapter 2, verse 15 says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. In other words, we are born with moral awareness. We are not animals. By the way, evolution's a direct attack on the foundation. It's a direct attack. By the way, evolution's a direct attack on the Old Testament. It's a direct attack on the book of Genesis. And God established this first law, if you would, and that law placed upon our hearts. This means that all mankind, when doing something contrary to the law, they feel a little prick. They feel a little, oh, here it goes. They feel a little guilt. They feel a little guilt. When they go against the law of God, they feel a little guilt. Atheists call themselves atheists because they don't want to be accountable to God. Because they feel the guilt. They may not feel it that often, but that prick is there. Every once in a while, they're going to feel it. Now, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, that conscience became warped. And so, to say that let your conscience be your guide cannot be what guides our life, because the conscience, that moral awareness, because of sin entering the world, has been warped. In other words, the conscience, that moral awareness now is not necessarily a goal or a guide to follow, but it's a goad. In other words, it pricks us. It pricks us. It makes us understand that we are morally aware. It's what separates us, again, from the animals. By the way, it's a great, great example of why evolution cannot be true. How does one evolve into a moral conscience? No, that moral conscience was given to us by God. Now, that conscience can become seared, and as we, as society, has made understanding that it can become desensitized as well. This is why we as parents ought to make good decisions when it comes to what our kids watch, because that moral compass, that conscience can be seared and it can be desensitized. A particular video game, and I'm not here to bash on video games, my kids played them growing up, but we did limit them on time, and we also limited them what they could play, because we wanted to be very careful that through those games they didn't become desensitized either to violence or sensitized to immorality or whatever the case may be. TV's the same way. You think about how Hollywood has desensitized the conscience of America when it comes to homosexuality. They began having these sitcoms that promoted and made fun of homosexuality and characters in those. And all of a sudden you have an American society who accepts homosexuality because they've been desensitized to the immorality. Amen. And I want to clarify and make sure you understand that all sexual sins are immoral. And Hollywood has made all sexual sins and has desensitized the American family to it. This moral conscience is put there by God to do what? Well, to remind us of our guilt. We're all sinners. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The heart is deceitfully wicked, the Bible says. It's deceitfully wicked. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, Paul said, "Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to what? Bring us to Christ." It's the law that's placed upon our heart, and then the law explained in the Bible to us, the Mosaic law, as well as the moral law, that reminds us that we are guilty before God. Amen. And because we are sinners, the Bible says the penalty of sin is death. But I'm thankful for the gift of God, of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the law is our schoolmaster that drives us to Christ. You know why? Because we can't keep the law. We cannot keep the law. We cannot love everyone in the world as we love ourselves all the time, because that's what the law requires. I can't even love some of you all the time as I love myself. Amen. Right? Do you love your kids, all the time? No, and I'm sorry to kind of be sarcastic here, but understand that that is absolutely true. We can laugh about it, but it's true. We can't love everyone in the world as we love ourselves all the time. We can do it some of the time, and we might do it most of the time, but we cannot do it all the time, and because of that, we are guilty. We are selfish by nature, and because we're selfish by nature, the Bible says the penalty of that sin is death. Revelation describes that death as death, hell, and the lake of fire. There is a penalty for sin. It's hell. But I'm thankful again. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can have our sins forgiven. We can have our sins forgiven. Jesus Christ went to the cross and there he paid for my sins. There he paid my sin debt on the cross. There he died for me on the cross. He shed his blood on Calvary in order that my sins might be forgiven. That I might escape hell and have a home in heaven. I hope today you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope today you have a personal walk with Jesus. If you don't, we'd love to invite you at the end of the service to come down to the altar or talk to one of our counselors. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life, how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can have a home in heaven. Christ came and forgave us. The second foundation is the family. The biblical family. We would say, well, we used to say, the American family. The American family, the institution of the American family, one man, one woman, raising kids for a lifetime. Raising kids with discipline and virtue. Raising kids to serve the Lord. Even those in the early days of America, even in the early 1900s, that weren't churchgoers. Most of America was moral and still was raising their kids to be virtuous. Still raising their kids in a way of discipline. You can go to the grocery store now and spend just a little bit of time, and you can see kids there that are very undisciplined. I remember as we were raising our three boys, and we'd go to a restaurant, and the waitresses would be amazed. They're like, how do you keep your kids to, how do you get them to stay seated at the table at the restaurant? I said, it's pretty simple. We make them. Did you see how little they are? I'm big, you're little. You'll do what I say. Well, you're just being a bully. I'm the dad. Now, if I continue to be a bully throughout their entire progression and maturity, that would be another thing. But when they're 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm the bully. I don't know how and why a parent would allow a 3 or 4 or 5 year old or 6 year old to run their house or to tell them what to do. We as parents need to understand the foundation of our society is to raise children to be virtuous, to raise children in a disciplined way, to train them, train up a child the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. And there is a difference between beatings and whoopings. Hello, it has to do with love. Amen. And I won't go into all that this morning, but I want to really bad. I'm glad my dad whooped me growing up, and I'm glad he did it in love. He really did. He's here this morning. I wouldn't change it for the world. I'm glad. Foundation of society is the family. We see this all the way back in Genesis chapter 2, where God said that it was not good for Adam to be alone, and he brought forth a helpmeet for him. The family is under assault in America, first by America allowing divorce, abortion, the sexual sins that we see today, homosexuality, and so many other things. Today, more than ever, we need mom and dads who are committed to staying by the stuff. You say, well, preacher, I've been divorced already. Well, stay committed to the one you're with now. I'm thankful God forgives, aren't you? I'm glad we serve a loving God who forgives us, and we just go forward. Don't look back. He said, don't look back. Go forward. By the way, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. We need schools and churches to assist in supporting this foundation. You say, well, we need homes that are deeply rooted in the Bible. We need homes that are teaching right and wrong. But we need schools that are teaching right and wrong. And this is not happening in most public schools anymore. Notice what I said. I said most. We need schools that are complementing what's being taught at home. We need schools that are being supportive of what's being taught at home, undergirding the truth and undergirding mom and dad and what they're teaching. Foundation of the family. Number three, the foundation of the government. God instituted the government. We want to be careful, by the way, what we say around our kids. Sometimes I think we're really negative about the government around our kids, and we need to differentiate between what we disagree with and what is wrong than God instituted the government. I'll never forget, we got a missionary who wrote a letter here. It's only been a couple years ago, one of our missionaries that we support. And in the letter, boy, he was just really downing the government, our government, American, and downing the election that was going on and saying that government was evil. Government is not evil. That's not what the Bible teaches. Tyranny is evil. The Bible teaches that. What we have going on over in Ukraine, that's good versus evil. Putin's evil. Russia's evil. No, really? I only got 3 amens. It's good versus evil. But the Bible makes it clear that government was ordained of God. Romans chapter 13, verse 4 says, "For he," that is the government, "is the minister of God to thee for good." It was put there in order for society to function correctly and society to not become chaotic and chaos. The greatest government system designed by man is the United States of America. Amen. The Constitution, Bill of Rights, the greatest government system designed by man is found in America. I believe that. I believe with all my heart. Notice I said designed by man. Israel was meant to be a theocracy, and we won't go into that either. The Ten Commandments in the Bible played a significant role in the founding of America. And today we see the systematic breakdown on purpose of this foundation by many, if not most, of those in leadership in America. On purpose. You say, how do you know it's on purpose? Because it makes no sense. Many of the things they do makes it does not make common sense at all. Hello? I don't mean just to bash on the government this morning after I told you to be positive about it with your kids. But us adults in here need to understand that there is a consorted effort, and I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, but there's a consorted effort to break down the American family. You have strong families? Woo, it's hard to have tyranny from the government if you got strong families. And there's a breakdown today, and there's a consorted effort to break down government. We know this by the defund police movement. What an idiotic, stupid movement. You said you used the S word. Well, not a lot of kids in here. A movement that makes no sense. Are there bad police? Yes. Are there bad teachers? Yes. Are they the majority? No. Are they the minority? Yes. There are bad people in every profession. And they should be rooted out. But defund police, many of these movements that are going on today are there to break down this one foundation that God set in order, and that is the government. We need a strong government. The riots in Washington and Oregon and all the anarchy going on is a symptom of what's being promoted by many politicians to break down the government, to redo and rewrite and significantly change the greatest designed government in the world. They want to see it changed, significantly changed. I'm thankful that we have schools and churches promoting patriotism. The home and the schools should promote the importance of the government, and a school should undergird a strong government. A school should promote patriotism. And we have just the opposite going on in many, many school districts across the nation. Hello? I'm thankful for Heritage Christian Academy. Saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Promoting patriotism. Promoting patriotism. I'm thankful for God and country, aren't you? Amen. I'm glad for Old Glory. I respect our flag. And we want to teach those same things to our kids. And lastly, and probably the most important, is the church. The foundation of the church that God instituted, and Jesus Christ established the church while he was here on earth, again, to help draw the lines between good and evil, to help in establishing of the family and the government, to continue to help in our founding fathers, of course, in their politics and all those things, set together a foundation in government based upon Judeo-Christian ethics. Aren't you glad of that? But preachers in the early days used to proclaim from the pulpits what was going on. Preachers used to proclaim opposition to tyranny. Preachers used to proclaim opposition to British tyranny. And now so many across the states and so many across the nation, we have churches who are silent. Who say, well, churches have no part in politics, or shouldn't have any part in politics. That's phony baloney. Churches need to stand up. And churches need to help undergird the other two institutions that God put and ordained, the family and the government. All three of these foundations support each other, should be strengthening each other. I'll say kind of bragging on each other, helping each other, undergirding each other. And I'm thankful for a school where we can teach how important the church is, where we can teach scriptures and teach children to sing songs about the Lord. By the way, in the early days, the first primer, the first sanctioned primer lesson book in America had scripture all throughout it. Even learning their ABCs, A was for Adam, and it talked about who Adam was. In America, that's what was being taught. And may I say this morning, the foundation of the church is Christ. Paul makes that very clear in Ephesians. Psalm says, David says, if our foundations be destroyed. I just want to encourage you this morning, may we as Christians stand up May we stand up for the family, for a strong government. May we stand against tyranny. And may we stand for the church that God instituted. You want to see America back where it should be? Those three institutions need to be strong. Stronger today than they were yesterday or the day before. The school should undergird and support these foundations. Schools should do so. And some do to various levels. And we could talk about public school this morning, and we have public school teachers here in the audience this morning. And so I want to necessarily be careful, but I do want to say that no matter what you do in a public school, you're still not supporting in various ways this book. And public school teaches evolution. Public school teaches things that are immoral. But I'm thankful for some conservative public schools, and we have a few in our area. I'm really concerned about Northwest ISD and where it's headed after Mr. Warren retired. I'm telling you, he is a fine Christian man. I'm concerned. I'm concerned that Northwest might go the way of Fort Worth. I'm glad they got rid of that liberal dude. You ought to be aware of these things. Who's leading our schools? Did you know you had a liberal leading the Northwest ISD? Did you know he rewrote and sanctioned boys going into girls' restrooms? Did you know that? That was going on in public school, just right here. I'm thankful Northwest ISD stood against it. Keller almost tried and had 1,000 people show up to their school board meeting. Thank the Lord for the citizens of Keller. They weren't just kind of standing around going, bah, 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 bah. No, they stood up for right. And guess what? That superintendent's not there no more. I'm telling you, let's keep our eyes open, folks. Go to school board meetings when we need to. Stand up for these foundations. Let these foundations be taught to our students. More importantly, you can send them to a Christian academy where you don't have to worry about that. You know they're being taught these foundations, and you know they're being encouraged in these foundations, and where we can teach these foundations. By the way, you can do it on every level, from the time they're 4 years old to the time they're in 12th grade. A consistent teaching on the foundations that are found here in the Word of God. And a good education. And I believe, I'm just a little prejudiced, a better education than the public school can offer. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Heritage Christian Academy and how it promotes the family and promotes the government, promotes the church. Can I remind you this morning as we close, the foundation of the home is Christ. The foundation of the government should be Christ. The foundation of the church is Christ. Christ is our all in all. He is everything. He is everything. And may we keep our eyes on Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Just keep our eyes on the Lord. I'm looking forward to His return, aren't you? But until He comes, let us occupy. Let us be aware of what's going on, whether it's in the home, the government, whether it's in the church. Let us be aware of what's going on. And may we continue to stand for these important biblical foundations instituted by Jesus Christ. By the way, He's the designer. He's the creator. I think He knows what He's doing. Amen. Let's just lean upon Him. Let Him guide us. All right, let's all stand. I have a verse of invitation, "Just As I Am," Hymn 167. Hymn 167. After we pray, Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to read Your Word, and Lord, that we can be guided by it. Lord, may each of us stand. May each of us be aware. May we not put our heads in the sand, but God, may we stand for these great and wonderful foundations that You've established. And we do pray for a stronger family in America. We pray for stronger government in America. Lord, we pray, Lord, for stronger churches in America. God, may You do what only You can do. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.